Good morning. And I was discussing before the service when it was that I was actually last up here at Nap Hill. And I think we concluded it must be more than four, maybe even stretching to 5 years ago, which seems quite incredible. But certainly your children's play area there was a complete newbie on me coming in. Anyway, it is lovely to be here. And I have the wonderful privilege of preaching. I'm not going to be wearing a mask, but I will try and keep my distance from you. So we prepare ourselves for worship. Just a couple of verses from Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. So as we come together as a united people, actually able to join together, may we worship our wonderful, gracious, and faithful God as we are joined together in his spirit. So shall we sing our first song? I'm not sure whether you sit or stand to sing, but I think it's lovely to be able to stand to sing. And Lord, I come before your throne of grace, which is number 57 in Singing the Faith.
Worship and wonder, I behold your
Lord God, we know that you are faithful. You love each one of us. You care for each one of us. And yet, you are beyond our imagination. The universe cannot contain you. Infinity cannot describe you. Lord God, we come before you now to worship and adore you for all that you do for us. This is our opportunity of showing our appreciation. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you in all things. Even when we don't understand, when we feel lost and alone, we can nevertheless trust you. When we wander in the wilderness, we thank you that you are there by our side, that you reach out and touch us with outstretched arms, with open arms. We thank you, Lord, that we are safe with you. For you provide all that we need, that which is on earth, and that which is eternal. But above all, Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that through the Bible we may learn of his character. We thank you that by the Spirit we may know his presence within us. And we thank you for his death and resurrection. And that now he has returned to be with you, that we thank you that he is interceding for us with you on our behalf. And we thank you that since he has been human, he knows what it is like to be us. And so in the name of this Lord Jesus Christ, who we love and worship, we come before him now and we say sorry for the wrong things that we have done. And if you can join together, the words should appear on the screen. If you can join together in the bold, with me in the bold type. Lord, when we fail to trust you in all things, forgive us and help us to trust you more. When we complain that you have forsaken us, you have left us, abandoned us. Forgive us and help us to trust you more. When we choose to go our own way because your way doesn't seem to make sense, forgive us and help us to trust you more. When we don't challenge injustice and instead accept things as they are, forgive us and help us to trust you more. When we keep asking for more signs, more proof, more of everything, forgive us and help us to trust you more. When we trust a little, then snatch it back, forgive us and help us to trust you more. Amen. And through the name of Jesus, with him interceding for us, we can indeed know that our sins are forgiven. Amen. In a few minutes, we're going to have a couple of readings read to us. The first is from Psalm 78. A little bit of an unusual psalm in that it's actually a potted history of Israel's foundation. It says right at the beginning of the psalm that it's intended to be handed down from generation to generation. It's so that the importance of the people of Israel putting their trust in God is not forgotten. So it's typically the kind of stories that they tell every Sabbath to hand down the fundamental stories of the Jewish faith. Not surprisingly, it's one of the longer of the Psalms, 72 verses in second place, totally knocked out by Psalm 119, which has a staggering 176 verses. But even then, I think at 72 verses, quite a lot for the next generation to learn. There are some themes in the Old Testament, and indeed which are echoed in the New Testament, which come up time and time again. And the little extract that we're going to have read from us from Psalm 78 is one of those themes. And it's the time when the Israelites were wandering around in the desert. This particular part of the psalm, Moses has already been able to give them the water that they need by striking rocks and water gushing forth. But the people were still moaning because they wanted food. And this continual moaning actually angered God. And our reading today starts at the point where, despite his anger, God nevertheless provides for them. I'm just going to say, because it is an extract, if you were to read on after it, you'll find that despite the fact that God provided them the food that they were craving, that actually it didn't make a great deal of difference, and the Israelites still continued to moan and to sin. So perhaps our extract paints a slightly rosier picture than actually the overall psalm, which is about, really, has a lot to do about their continual not listening to God, not trusting in God. But then perhaps that is why this episode is referred to so much, because despite all their moans and all their complaints, God nevertheless still looked after them. So we can have the first reading. Linda, I think you're reading that.
Thank you, Hugh. As Hugh has said, this reading comes from Psalm 78, beginning at verse 23. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens, and by his power made the south wind blow. He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tents. They all ate till they were gorged. He had given them what they craved. Thanks be to God.
Just a little introduction to our gospel reading, which Helen will read to us in a moment. Now, this follows on from the feeding of the 5,000. And we need to... The context is that the crowds have been truly impressed. No greater miracle than to actually be given food that has been generated for you. And to such an extent that the crowds have obviously decided en masse that they want Jesus to be their king. And rather being forceful about it is what John tells us earlier in the chapter. Jesus doesn't want this. And Jesus actually withdraws to the mountains to be on his own, leaving his disciples, who take their boat and set out across the water and across Galilee. And They're on their way to Capernaum, base town, I guess, on the other side. And little in between, but immediately before this story, is the story of Jesus walking on the water. He's obviously come out of the mountains and decided to join them in the boat. It's quite a clever ploy, because obviously they have managed to give the crowds a slip, but the crowds are not going to let it go that easily. And our reading starts when the crowds have realised that, and they're coming to find him again. Now, as you listen to the reading, there's a few things that it might be worth sort of asking yourself. Ask yourself the question whether Jesus here is being, you know, totally wonderfully gracious, or whether there is perhaps just a little bit of an element of impatience. It's an interesting reading in that there are two ways you can read it. It's sort of this wonderful, sort of niceness. Or there's this slight irritation that, you know, the crowds have managed to catch up with him. They're not getting what he's talking about. Okay. So is Jesus just being very kind in what he says to them? Or is he actually being quite blunt, with a tone of irritation in his voice, that they're not getting it? One of the things that I think we do often when we read readings in church is that we lose the ebb and flow of what is actually going on. If I'm allowed to set sort of homework, I'd actually urge you all to read John chapter 6 from beginning to end. Because actually, there are ups and downs in there of mood and what's happening and what people are understanding. And when we take out just, you know, a 10 or a dozen verses, we lose that overall pattern. And I think this is one that this passage is worth looking at in that overall context, because each individual bit, I think, can make a little bit more sense to us if we actually see it in the context of the whole. Anyway, Helen, if you can now give us the reading, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
This reading is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing again now. Number 153, I realise I got the number of the last one wrong, didn't I? That was 58 and not 57, but since you haven't got hymn books, it's probably irrelevant to you. But "Break Thou the Bread of Life." Lord, we pray now that you will show us the truth concealed within thy word. May your spirit work within us and help us to reflect on what we hear now. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Finding the Non-Perishable Food. And it's based substantially, or what got me thinking, was verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that will endure to eternal life. As part of my work at Trinity as Boundary Missioner, I have decided that it would be very useful to create some podcasts. A podcast, if you're not familiar with them, is normally, I think, an audio program, if you like, that you put together. So if you were to record this sermon and put it on the web, you could say that this would become a podcast. I think David Faulkner is very good at doing podcasty type things. I'm not. I've got no experience of doing it. I have some very particular podcasts that I'm wanting to do, one of which is a podcast targeting an audience which would be the socially isolated people of Woking. Now, I'm working with an expert. I don't know how you become an expert in these things. Anyway, he's advising me on all aspects podcast, including all sorts of various software I should be loading down from the internet and microphones that I should be purchasing. Anyway, I sent him some suggested text the other day, and I have been very politely told that he'd need to work on it a bit. Apparently, my language is far too complex. Now, I wasn't too offended by this, except for the fact that I had spent particular effort trying to be as simple as I can be, and he's clearly told me that I've got some way still to go on that. I think my kids would probably agree with him. I don't know. You just use the language that you've grown up with, don't you? The problem is that language can be a direct block to someone else understanding what it is you're trying to say. However, sometimes it's not so much the language that is difficult, but it is the concepts that we're using that lie behind that language. People just don't get what we are trying to say. We'll all have had experiences when we have spoken with someone and realized a little bit later on that we're talking completely at cross purposes. This is often used in comedy, it has to be said, and there are some great comedy sketches, and one that I often think of is I think it's the two Ronnies and their fork handles sketch, you know, where this conversation manages to go on for 2 or 3 minutes without them actually realizing that they're completely at cross purposes. In our passage today, I almost get the sense that Jesus is getting a little bit exasperated, that the crowd don't get it. They seem transfixed on things which are physical. The miraculous supplies of the bread really got their attention, that did. But Jesus is actually wanting them to understand why he is there, what he stands for, why he is important. He is not just there to provide them with food and to stop them from feeling hungry. I almost wonder whether Jesus might have regretted feeding the 5,000 of them the previous day, because it seems to have set them off a little bit on the wrong track. They've become obsessed with miracles instead of listening to what he's actually saying. Not one to give up, Jesus decides that if they are fixated on the bread, then he'll use the bread, as a means of describing himself. But first, he needs to correct them on one misunderstanding. And that is who it was that actually gave them bread, manna, when they were in the desert. The crowd seems to be suggesting that it was Moses managed to do this. If Moses could do this, Jesus, you can do even better things. So it's a very human level of comparison that is Jesus' hearing. So Jesus reminds them, in fact, that it wasn't Moses that did that for them, that it was actually God that did that for them. It was his Father, because it is his Father, God, who actually gives the true bread from heaven. Perishable bread gives perishable life, and Jesus says that non-perishable bread gives non-perishable life, eternal life. When Jesus says this to them, the crowd respond, we're at verse 34, if you want to know, that they say, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." I wonder, Jesus must have despaired, because they're not talking about, Jesus is there. They've already been given Jesus, and they're asking for this bread. They're clearly asking for the physical bread, the food stuff that they're wanting. I don't think the crowds have understood what Jesus was saying at all. I think they're looking for something. It's sort of like the elixir to eternal life. You know, you see it sometimes in sort of almost fairy tales, you know, what can you eat to live forever? And they're looking for something physical. Oh, we just got to drink the elixir and, you know, that's it, we're sorted. We're not, never going to grow old, nothing's ever going to happen. It's almost as though they're stuck at that kind of trivial level. The ultimate anti-aging product. Bread from Jesus, we will live forever. So Jesus responds with what is a very famous saying, the I am the bread of life. He tries to make it clear exactly what it is that he is saying. I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit to emphasize perhaps one reading of this. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. It's me. Those that come and follow what I say will never go hungry for the things that really matter. And those who believe who I am will never thirst for anything. For I, Jesus, I am the source of life." I mentioned earlier about needing to read the passage in its overall context. And if you read on a bit, you'll get to a place where the Jews, who at the beginning of this passage are wanting to make him king, and now something is beginning to drop, that he's not going to actually give them the bread they want, and they're starting to grumble. And they realize that he's actually starting to maybe make claims that they're not very comfortable with. Jesus and the crowd are clearly on a different wavelength. They are being far too literal, and Jesus is talking in a way with concepts that they are just not grasping. But what of us? Do we get it? Now, we have all the advantage of living in the post-resurrection age. We also live in the post-Pentecost age. We live in the post-ascension age. The question is, do we really get what Jesus was saying? I've already suggested a little bit of homework, like reading all of John 6. Can I suggest something else? Can I suggest that you try and work out how you would describe to someone what Jesus was on about here? If you like, you can imagine that you're going to be putting together a 10-minute podcast that people all over the world can find the, be sent the URL to and click on it, and that they will be able to hear your explanation. Or if you're not into podcasts, you may prefer to think in terms of writing a letter to someone. I find that whenever I'm writing a report, a podcast, a letter, it's always very useful to think about the kind of person or the person who you're actually writing to. What do they understand? What language will work with them? What ideas and concepts will they be able to grasp hold of? And what will they find quite alien? Where will I have to work particularly hard in order for them to understand exactly what it is that I am writing about? How can we help people to understand what it is that Jesus means? I was reading an article in the Church Times this week. I get it on the internet and I just browse it periodically just to see whether there are any interesting things. It's a good way of keeping up with church news because they don't just report things about the Anglican Church. It's a bit dominated by that. But you get news and snippets of everything that's going on. So I find it a useful read. But in the article I was reading, they were talking about how many years it takes someone to properly learn a foreign language. And by properly learn, they mean such that you understand all the little nuances of the language, that you can pick up the context of what people are saying, and suggesting that it is a considerable length of time. And the reason the writer was writing about this, because he was suggesting that it can take people a similar length of time to actually pick up the Christian language, that we use all sorts of phrases and things that are loaded with meaning, that are loaded with ideas and concepts that we have, that are just totally alien to anyone else who isn't well versed in the Christian language. I have to say that I would love to do a series of sermons picking on some of these expressions and trying to unpack them. You know, things like, are you born again? Jesus died for me. You know, there are lots of little expressions that we say that I wonder exactly what it would mean to someone else. And if we had to unpack it. I titled my message this morning as Finding the Non-Perishable Food, because I think sometimes it remains remarkably hidden from other people. Our language hides rather than reveals what it is. And that very often we end up in the same position that I think Jesus was in this passage. He is trying to communicate something of eternal importance to every single one of those people who were hearing, and they just were not able to hear. Time and time again, he tries it from a slightly different angle, and they just don't seem to get it. As we move back towards some kind of normality, we might ask ourselves what the world is going to look like, what our church is going to look like. And I'm going to be honest, if you'd asked me this question 6 months ago, I'd have said, oh, we're going to come back and look very, very different to how we were before lockdown. I have a fear, however, that too many of us, and I include myself in this, by the way, it's no finger pointing here, they're all pointing back at me, that we are going to slide back into the comfortable world of Christian language, Christian tradition, Christian practice. Now, there isn't anything wrong with that. We are Christians. We have a great and wonderful God who has given us Jesus. Jesus who is there interceding for us. Nothing wrong with being Christian. But I have a feeling that maybe through the experience we've had together, we have an opportunity of putting aside some of those complexities and having re-looking at how we communicate who we are to the world round about us. How we tell the world that Jesus is indeed the bread of life. My fear is that we will slip back into our old ways. We will forget all the communications and different ways that we have had to do things, and we will go back to where we are comfortable. And the result will be that many, many people in the world around us will not find that perishable food. They will not find the non-perishable food. Got that totally wrong, didn't I? They will just not be able to find it. We, who are Jesus' followers, need perhaps to become translators. Yes, we need to be his arms. We need to be his legs, his ears, his eyes, his mind, his heart. Everything we do and everything we say should be in a language which can be understood by everyone in the society around us. We'll be going from here a little later. My prayer is that we will be filled with the knowledge and thrilled by the presence of Jesus' Spirit in us. For however difficult we find the language, however difficult we find translating it into the language of the world, we should be very much aware that we are only here because we have found that non-perishable food. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never go hungry, and those who believe in me will never be thirsty. What a great gift God has given us in Jesus. What an opportunity we have to share that gift with the world. Because as well as being unperishable, it is unrestricted and available for all. And I would contend that we live in a world where all need to hear and understand something of what that unperishable food is. Amen. We're going to sing May the Mind of Christ My Saviour, number 504, but it'll appear on the screen.
May the word of God dwell rich.
I put on my little running order, the order of service, just a time to share some of our joys and indeed some of our concerns with one another. I think I'm mobile because I've got the mic on. But I like prayers of intercession to be bedded in our local, what's going on with us. And there's still a place for praying for the wide world, but I seem to have grown up in churches where we spend a lot of our time praying for things which are so far almost beyond our horizons that they have very little impact on us. But I don't know whether anyone has got anything they would like to share. I know, Helen, you've got a few notices to share with us, which is very much part of the life of the church. But I'm happy to share a little bit of a joy, or several joys that we've had over the past 2 or 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, in fact, all happened in 1 week, my wife and I have been blessed with the birth of 2 grandchildren, takes our total to 8. They're all healthy, they're all doing well now, so that was well. And a little bit more remote, just squeezed in between the 2 grandchildren, which were born a week apart, there was also a great niece that was born as well. So I think it's our attempt to repopulate the world. I'm not sure whether that is quite politically correct to say, but we're thankful, particularly for the birth of my daughter's son, which was quite tricky at one stage, but they are all doing very, very well now. So I certainly give thanks to God for that. And I don't know whether anyone else has anything else they would like to share with us, or any particular concerns, things that actually do worry you, that things that are happening in the community of the church, that we should include in our prayers of intercession, that we should offer up to God and ask what He will ask, that He intervene, that His will be done. Yes?
I just found out that a school friend of mine has just been diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh. Are we allowed a name just so that we...
Yes, it's Joyce.
Joyce. Okay. Was that a shock for her?
Everybody.
Yes, Linda.
I think we need to bear in mind, with the relaxation that everybody seems to be doing at the moment, that there are still people out there who are very concerned and anxious in meeting other people or coming into enclosed places.
Yes.
Because of their own health issues.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's very interesting, and I was involved in a meeting the other day where we were actually discussing whether, as a society, we need to be taking positive action to actually counter the anxiety, because we've built up the anxiety in order to make us all do as we're meant to do, but now it is noticeable that some people are incredibly anxious. Yes, Ella.
We had a coffee morning yesterday, and we had it outside up in France. And it was not just for money at all, it was to meet other people and let them know that we're here.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday morning, yes.
And did you get many people stopping by and grabbing a cup of coffee?
Yeah, it was. We had good fellowship with a lot of non-churchgoers who feel that they're part of us because they come to our coffee mornings. And I think one gentleman said to you, Daniela, that in the week he sits on our seat out, or sits on our steps out the front, and it renews his energy and his well-being.
That's it.
So things like that are lovely to hear, and although we're out there to raise money, but more importantly, we're out there to share fellowship with our neighbours.
No, I think it is wonderful. When I'm not working at home, but working at Trinity, occasionally I wander around the outside of the premises, and I do sometimes wonder whether we need to spend more time literally just on the perimeter of our premises, because it's amazing the number of people who you find dotted around sitting on a chair and you talk to. And my only regret is that we've had nothing going on inside the premises, because there's been several people I could have invited people into, but it's really, that's lovely. That's something to say. Thank you, John. Any other concerns? Helen?
Friendships.
Okay. Okay, so I'm not a very quick writer. You can see how long the podcast takes to write out, can't you? So if people didn't hear that, Helen's just saying thank you for the friendships, particularly the support she's received since her brother died of COVID in February. And how long before your brother's birthday would have been?
Well, it's coming up, it's 16th of August.
16th of August, so that's going to be a...
His wife, my brother died a week before, and then my brother died
really fast,
so she's had two bereavements.
So, that is tough. Mm. That is very difficult indeed. Okay, Helen, do you have any... Oh, yes.
Right, it's my 62nd wedding anniversary today.
Wow! Come on, I think we need to... 67.
I'm on my own. He died 2.5 years ago.
Oh.
So I bought him to the flower.
Oh, we will remember you. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Nelly.
Ellie. Nelly. I'm bad on names, but with a 4-year gap, I can't remember names in any case. But Ellie. Did you say it would have been the 62nd. Okay, we'll certainly pray for you, Nelly, as well. Yeah. Okay, shall we then pray and offer up, well, some of these are things to be very thankful for, but also things that we need to just offer up to God and ask that he will bless individual people. Okay, let us pray. Lord God, first of all, we just want to come before you. We have been reflecting on your word about you being the bread of life. And we pray, first of all, for ourselves. Help us to recognize our role in being the bread of life to our community. And Lord, we thank you for the coffee morning that was held yesterday. We pray for all those little conversations that will have taken place. We pray that something of your goodness to us will have been communicated to the people that we spoke to and that we encountered. And that we can show in our own relatively simple ways, just by being ourselves, what it means to be a follower of you. We are aware that at this time many people still remain anxious about COVID, confused as to what they are allowed to do, not allowed to do, what it is safe to do. Lord God, we pray for the whole of our society. We have been unbalanced by the pandemic, and we just ask that as a whole, as a group of people living and working together, we may become supportive of each other, that we will get back to normal. we do particularly pray for those who are anxious, that this anxiety may be removed. We thank you for the friendship that Helen has enjoyed in tragic and very sad circumstances. But we continue to uphold Helen in our prayers, particularly as the occasion of her brother's birthday approaches. We pray for each of us. May we be sensitive. May we be your loving arms around Helen at this time. Just as we pray for Helen, we also pray for Nellie, who would have been celebrating 62 years of marriage today. We pray that she will know your comfort with her, a special presence today, Lord God, as she takes flowers and remembers hopefully all the good times, the wonderful life that she was able to share with her husband. Lord God, we are aware that sometimes we are confronted by exceptionally bad news. Today we pray for Joyce, who has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and this has come totally out of the blue and unexpected. Lord God, we pray for all the family and friends of Joyce as they adapt to the shock of hearing this news. We pray that any treatment plans or things that can be put in place, that they may be effective. We pray for this church too, for its life. We've heard a little bit about, Lord God, about the coffee mornings. But we pray for Nap Hill Methodist Church as it comes back to worshipping together in here, as activities restart, as all the anxieties are confronted and put out there. Lord God, may there be a real sense of your peace dwelling here, that we don't look back, but we can look forward to a bright and perhaps different future. We pray for the stewards here, for David Faulkner, the minister. We pray for all those who love and care and whose work keeps this place going. We ask, Lord God, that the work done here will be truly blessed by you, that we may show other people what it means to be taking and eating some of the non-perishable bread that you have to offer. Lord God, there are many things we can pray for, things that are happening all over the world, and you know the thoughts that we have and the prayers that we each have. We thank you that with Jesus interceding on our behalf, that you do indeed hear our prayers. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. And we will now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.
The offering will now be brought to the front, Ivan. Lord God, these gifts are one of the ways that we can show how much we love you, how much we appreciate what you have done for us. We ask now that these gifts will be used wisely, that they can be used to further your work, both here in Knapp Hill and indeed throughout the world. So bless these gifts, we pray. Amen. When I said to Helen, my wife, that I was going to choose Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, as the last hymn this morning, she accused me of cruelty on the basis that it's one that you need to be able to sing with real gusto. I have to say, when I chose it, I didn't realise that you'd be singing behind masks, so actually it's double cruelty, I think. But let's stand and sing this final hymn together.
As we go from here this morning, may we indeed
give him all our songs of praises. May our lives be one continuous song of praise. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May he be with you in all that you do today and throughout this coming week. Amen.